Chapter number 31. It's an honor and privilege to be in the Lord's house tonight. I get to preach for my favorite preacher and preach with my second favorite preacher. Amen. The Lord's just been good. There's a big crowd. I might preach with my glasses off. Y'all awake? Amen. 1 Samuel chapter number 31. Was going to the Lord in prayer because I cannot do a thing without Him. Lord, I love You. Thank You, Lord, for being so good to me. Thank You, Lord, for the opportunity to stand behind the pulpit tonight. Thank You, Lord, for the ability to stand behind the pulpit tonight. I can't do this without You. You show me that later on in my life, God. Thank You, Lord, for just being so good. I pray You use the word that You laid upon our heart, Lord, to be a blessing to Your people. And there's someone here that's struggling with this. God, I pray You just wake them up with this message. Your name we pray. Amen. If you found your place in 1 Samuel chapter 31, can you please stand in the honor of reading God's word? 1 Samuel chapter number 31, in verse number 1 says, "Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell down slain in Mount Gilboa. And the Philistines fell hard upon Saul and upon his sons, and the Philistines slew Jonathan and Abinadab and Mashusa, Saul's sons. And the battle went sore against Saul, and the archers hit him, and he was wounded of the archers. And then Saul said unto his armor bearer, Draw thy sword and thrust me through therewith, lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through and abuse me. But his armor bearer would not, for he was sore afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell upon it." I want you to direct your attention with me to this verse. This is probably one of the saddest passage of scriptures in the Word of God. But I want to take my thought out of this verse, and this broke my heart. It said, "And when his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he fell likewise upon his sword and died with him. So Saul died and his three sons and his armor bearer and all his men that same day together." You may be seated. I want to be preaching on these three words for just a little while tonight. On "he fell likewise." He fell likewise. Now we know that Saul gave up in the Mount Gilboa. He gave up. He was in the fight. And he committed suicide, so to speak. Can I tell you? And that produced his armor bearer, which was most likely younger than him. And his armor bearer watched him. Oh man, I'm telling you. His armor bearer watched him commit suicide. And he'd done the same exact thing. My brother made a statement the other day when he was preaching. He said, "There's people watching me. There's younger people looking up to me. And I don't want to lead them the long way." Can I tell you? God showed me something later that day. I preached a message and I felt like a failure. I felt like, Brother Mark, I felt like that's the worst ever done in my life. I felt like, hey, what's the use of preaching? I can't preach worth a lick. Why even preach? But God showed me something. There was a teenage boy in the church come up to me and he said, "I didn't need ego boost." I mean, God used this young man to show me something. He come up to me and he said, "Timothy, you're one of my favorite preachers. I want to be like you one day." And God said, "Wake up, there's someone watching you. Wake up, there's someone watching you." Can I tell you something? Do not dare commit spiritual suicide. Why? It might be somebody else that will follow along. Can I tell you, your decisions can determine someone else's destiny. Can I tell you, the decisions that you make will affect other people's lives. Can I tell you, believe it or not, this ain't all about you. You're not the only one that will suffer for your decisions. There's people watching you. There's people looking at you. And if you commit spiritual suicide, if you say, "I give up," someone else might go down the same path. Then you won't be only responsible for your blood. You'll be responsible for someone else's. I'm just going to get to the message and what Brother Doug preached. Just give you a simple thought, Lord, laid in my heart. If you could turn with me to chapter number 28, that'll be appreciated, of the same book we are in. I want you to look with me, verse number 19. God uses an odd situation here. Ain't you glad God works in odd situations? Ain't you glad God works in strange situations? Situations where you think God ain't going to move. Situations where you think God can't work. Ain't you glad God works in them situations? It says here in verse number 19 of chapter number 28, This is God using a strange situation, and Samuel speaking to Saul. He said, "Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee into the hand of the Philistines. And tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me." And we know Samuel was dead. "And the Lord also shall deliver the host of Israel into the hand of Philistines." I want you to see the warning. What's so significant? Samuel prophesied what happened. I don't really think it was exactly. I don't think it was meant for him to commit suicide. Can I tell you, it's not God's will for you to give up. Didn't Paul tell Timothy, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man entangles himself in the affairs of this life. He may please him." You hear that? "He may please him and has chosen him to be a soldier." I did listen to school, Miss Dotson. Yeah, that was our school verse. Hallelujah. What are you saying? It's never God's will to give up. His sons died fighting. And if he would have died fighting, his armor bearer might have died fighting. What are you saying? I'm saying this. It's not God's will for us to give up. I can't find anywhere in the Word of God where he tells us to give up. But God told me in a dream to give up. Can I tell you, God ain't going to tell you nothing don't line up with that book. If you get some foreseen vision from God saying to give up, you're losing it, friend, because his word don't teach that, and God ain't a hypocrite. My. Ain't there a song that says, if you die fighting, it is no disgrace. Coward in the service, he will find no place. That song didn't tell us, though, if we was going to be a coward, and if we was going to die the coward way, there'll be someone following along right in our footsteps. It took me being discouraged and me being down and out to realize that there's people looking up to me. And there's things in my life that I let get to me. But can I tell you, can I just tell you something for a little while? How you fare well, you need a farewell in the fight. If you don't, you won't be the only casualty. Go back to our text, if you will. Chapter number 31. I want you to see, second of all, I want you to see the warfare. Verse number 1 and 2. "Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell down slain at Mount Gilboa. The Philistines fought hard upon Saul, upon his sons. And the Philistines slew Jonathan and Abinadab, Mishuzah, Saul's son." He was in a warfare. Can I tell you something? I just want to tell you this. I realize how serious warfare is. Can I tell you that sometimes it's hard? The Christian life is a warfare. It is a fight. We have to fight the world, flesh, and our devil. Well, some people fight the world, flesh, and the devil. I've been looking at some youth groups on social media. Yeah. Yeah, some people fight the world, flesh, and devil. That's what we need to be fighting, can I tell you? Don't underestimate the warfare. He probably said, "That preacher's crazy. Tell me and my son's going to die. I'm Saul." Don't he know who he's talking about? Yeah, you keep saying your preacher's crazy. When you lose your family, or when you lose your friends, when you see everybody around you fall to the ground, then say your preacher's crazy. Come on. My. That preacher's too strict. And then they do their own thing and the family gets destroyed. My mama, my brothers, the only ones in my family that's here. The only ones. The only ones that's been coming to church. Why? That preacher's too strict. Now they're destroyed. That preacher's too rough. Now they're destroyed. And their kids are falling down the pathway. We think that it's all about us. Can I tell you, when you watch your world crumble down and you watch your friends and your family crumble down all around you because of your decision, you'll wish you can go back. But newsflash, you can't. Don't underestimate the warfare. The enemy will tear you apart. You're no match. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me." God never told you to leave the church. When that verse is talking about what God allowed in Paul's life, it's not telling you to leave the church and fight as a one-man band. Lord, help us. Don't underestimate the warfare. His sons, Samuel said, "Your sons and you are going to be finished." But what he didn't say was his sons was going to finish. Your sons are going to finish right, and you're not. And because you finish wrong, your armor bearer is going to finish wrong. My. Have you considered how you're going to finish? I'm going to finish like this and that. Can I tell you, you can die in 10 minutes and that's how you're going to finish. How you live now could be how you finish. We looked at the warfare. I want you to see the wounded. Verse number 3. And the battle went sore against Saul, and the archers hit him, and he was sore wounded of the archers. Your wounds will affect your wellness in the warfare. Why are you talking about your wounds? Things that you just let bleed out without patching it up. Anybody in here ever been bitter towards somebody? Anybody? Just me? Wow, y'all spiritual. Have anybody ever had hurt feelings? Has anybody had discord with somebody? Have anybody ever hurt you? Have anybody ever betrayed you? Can I tell you something? If you let that bleed out and you let that keep pouring out, eventually your wounds will affect the way you fight in the warfare. And those other men depended on how Saul fought. Those other men depended on how he fought. Oh yeah, those other men depended on him. There's people depending on you. There's people. I have faces in my head right now of people. I've been preaching since I was 15 years old. I'm 21. And I can see faces of people that let me down. Yesterday I saw a preacher that preached behind this pulpit. Preached the night God called me to preach. He's not preaching no more. Lord help us. And he's a better preacher than I'll ever be. He's a better preacher than I ever can become. And he fell. And I was dependent on him. There's been people that I looked up to in the youth group, and then boom, they're dead spiritually. I don't want to do nothing for God. And I was dependent on them. Preacher, Brother Jeff, Corey, oh, I'm dependent on you guys. Brother Matt Loftus, Brother Matt Yarborough, I'm dependent on you guys. I'm dependent on you. Preacher, I'm dependent on you. If you ever think about quitting, can you think about me? Can you think about me if you ever think about quitting? Brother Jeff, can you think about me if you ever think about quitting? Brother Matt, can you think about me if you ever think about quitting? Brother Corey, can you think about me if you ever think about quitting? Matt, can you think of me if you ever think about quitting? The devil, he gets us in a place where when we're discouraged, the number one object on our mind is us. It's not all about us. People can die. People can commit spiritual suicide because of our decisions. Lord, help us tonight. I don't want no one to kill. I don't want no one to give up because of me. My, Lord, help us. We saw the wounded. If you haven't heard anything I said, can you please listen to this next point? God used this point to help me more than any of them. I might get a little rough. You just hang on. If you start looking mean at me, I'm going to take my glasses off. Hallelujah. I want you to see the weapon, verse number 4. And if I'm wrong about this, you preachers correct me, but I believe I'm right. Then Saul said unto his armor bearer, draw thy sword and thrust me through therewith. Lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through and abuse me. But his armor bearer would not, for he was sore afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell upon it. If you notice in verse 5, it said the armor bearer took out his sword. And I believe if Saul would have took his sword, it would have said took out his sword. And we know the enemy was moving them towards Gilboa. I just believe it said when he picked up a sword, I believe it might have been the sword of the enemy he picked up. Can I tell you, the enemy will provide you the tool you need to commit spiritual suicide. And maybe, just maybe, if it was a tool of the enemy, like I said, you men of God that's been preaching way longer than me, y'all can correct me if I'm wrong, but maybe, oh Lord, help my soul. Maybe, just maybe, preacher, just maybe, the sword he used to commit suicide had the blood of one of his comrades on it. My, what are you saying? The same thing that took out your favorite preacher. The same thing that took out that guy of the youth group. The same guy that took out that girl out of the youth group. It's the same thing the enemy's going to try handing you to commit spiritual suicide. You say, it can't happen to me. It can happen to you. The enemy is willing to supply the weapon. And it's the same weapon that took out people greater than you. I'm not above the sins. Them same sins that destroyed preachers greater than me. And same sins that destroy people in youth group, that same age as me, it can destroy me. And the enemy's going to give me the opportunity. At the first of the year, Lord, first week of the year, Lord, let me preach 13 times in the first week of the year. And He just blessed me. And I was faced with the decision in the middle of the week. And if I would have made the wrong choice, I would have been destroyed. And can I tell you, that was just the enemy sliding me the weapon. That was just the enemy providing me the weapon, the tool I needed to commit spiritual suicide. And I tell you, if that young boy that come up to me and encouraged me Sunday, I can tell you maybe he would have committed spiritual suicide too if I did. Lord, help us. I can tell you right now, if I would have made that wrong decision, my preacher would have set me on that pew and I wouldn't be here standing preaching tonight. There's a weapon. That weapon has been used to kill your comrades. That weapon is going to be right in front of your face. I believe Saul was on the ground wounded, and he was looking for a way out, and he was bleeding out. And that weapon was the first thing he seen. When his armor bearer said no, ain't it something how sin has multiple avenues? You say no to one way to sin, there's another way for you to sin. He said, his armor bearer said, no, I'm not giving that to you. And he looked down, and there was a sword of the enemy. And he said, I found my way out. Can I tell you, if you're thinking about finding a way out, and you're looking at a sword of the enemy, I can start naming swords of the enemy, but you go back on the youth service and you watch my brother's message, he named a bunch of them. I'm telling you, if you have a sword of the enemy right in front of your eyes and you're thinking about this time, I found a way out. Can I tell you, there's an armor bearer watching him grab that sword. Believe it or not, there's people watching you grab that sword. There's people watching you make that wrong decision. There's people watching that. And can I tell you, once they see it, they can't unsee it. And once you've done it, you can't undo it. My, Lord help us. I feel like I need to move on. I'm about finished, Brother Doug. I want you to see he watched, verse number 5. He watched Saul commit suicide. And when his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, can I tell you, it also produced worry. Don't make anybody worry about you. I know this is simple preaching, but can you just do your part? Be faithful to church. Ag your preacher on. Serve God. You know, Jesus spent every drop of blood He had for you. The least you can do is serve Him from crying out loud. The least you can do is give Him your all for crying out loud. That's the least you can do. That's the very least you can do is just do your part. Don't make no one worry about you. You know, when I had the opportunity to see in the room my ministry, my preacher popped in my head. Well, I didn't want my preacher. He invested a lot in me. Him and Miss Dobson, they invested a lot into me. I didn't want them to cry any tears over me. I didn't want to hurt the people that invested in me. I had the sword. I was about to grab a hold of that sword the enemy provided me, and I thought about my preacher. I don't want no one worrying about me. I don't want people to wonder if Timothy Henderson is going to serve God or not. I want people to wonder if Timothy Henderson is going to preach another message or not. Why? God called me. I'm going to be in this thing till the day I die. Amen. Tell you right now, I'm telling you. Don't let people worry about you. Do your parents worry about you? Do your friends worry about you? I'm just going to preach, preacher. There's some people in this youth group in the church. I'm worried about you. You haven't testified in a while. You used to testify and you don't no more. I can replace you with a stone statue of a fox and no one will ever know the difference. Timothy, you're getting me? No, I'm burdened from God. There's people worrying about you. I'm worried about you. Refuse that weapon. Please don't commit spiritual suicide. That will hurt me. It will hurt me. Lord, help us. I'm finishing up. I want you to see here, he willingly followed. There's going to be people that willingly follow you. Can I tell you, ain't it something? Ain't it something? How when we do right, we do right, we do right, it seems like we're alone. Ain't that right? Am I preaching it right? Y'all can help me if you want to. But when we do something bad, it seems like everybody and their brother starts following us. And you're like, where was that support when I needed it? Where was all the people when I needed them? Now they're all here since I messed up. No one cared about me until I messed up. He willingly followed, willingly. Let's look at it. And when his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, I believe he got that sword out and he poked him. And he poked him. And he poked him. And he said, well, Saul couldn't handle it. I can't. Lord, help us. If that preacher can't make it, how can I make it? If the best church member of my church can't make it, how can I? Lord, help us. If someone that's been preaching for 50 years commits spiritual suicide, how can I make it? He probably said, I'm just a young armor bearer, and Saul was a king. How can I make it if he can't? He said, you know what? I can't make it. So he made the same exact decision that Saul made. Can I tell you tonight, there's going to be people that's going to follow in your footsteps, make the same exact decision you make. But can I tell you, yes, the choice is yours. Can I tell you, you can make the right decision. You can make a difference instead of making a destruction. You can make a difference or you can destroy other people. You can destroy yourself, then you can destroy other people. Can I tell you something? His whole army and everybody failed, just like Samuel prophesied. But I believe he should have died fighting. Can I encourage you a little bit? Don't die with the enemy's sword in your hand. Die with your sword in your hand, swinging. Preacher, thank you.